Uri Beis HaKnesses, Tosfos quotes at Rashi and they disagree with Rashi. So a lot of Rishonim quote Rashi as saying the same as Tosfos. So for sure we pass like Tosfos. Okay, that's what Rashi said. So for sure we pass like this. Okay. What's after that Gemara? The Gemara quotes a pasuk, a difficult pasuk in Tehillim. One of the Talmidim made a comment to Rabbi Barabai. Another version has Amilo Rabbi made a comment to Rab Nachman by Yitzchak. Someone made a comment to someone. By the time the Gemara was written down, they already forgot who made the comment to whom. So my dichsiv, it says in Pasuk, Kurum Zulus Livnei Adam, it's a difficult Pasuk. So he interprets it as meaning, Eilu Dvarim Ha'omdim Berum Shaloylam, Ebnei Adam is also Lebohem. The Rashi says it's referring, based on the context of the Gemara, it's referring to davening. Davening is considered from the Dvarim Ha'omdim Berum Shaloylam. We have the attitude as if we daven when we need a shidduch, when we need parnasa, when we need a refuah, when we have a need. If everything would be taken care of, we wouldn't have to daven. So that's a wrong attitude. Apparently, the Gemara considers davening from Dvarim Ha'omdim Berum Shaloylam. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants this system. He wants that system. There's a Pirush Rashi on Chumash on Parshas Bereishis. The pasuk says, "Chosia chasada termiyeh baaretz, chaleis avasada termiyitzma ki lohim tarasham lekim al haaretz v'adamayin labayda so adoma." So Rashi quotes from the Bereishis Rabba on that pasuk, "Chosia chasada." Hosiach is Miloshin Tfilo. Like by Yetzi Yitzchok, Losuach Basode, so the Gemara says later that refers to davening. The Yitzchok is Kin Tfilos Mincha. Hosiach Hasode Term Yeboretz, there was no Tfilo yet. Chaleis Hasode Term Yitzmach, nothing, no vegetation was run. Kilo Himter, because there was no rain. When there's no rain, so nothing grows. But the mind, Lavoida, so Adoma, Lavoid means Avoida Shebelev. Odomarishim wasn't created yet. That he should be able to pray for the rain. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't bring the rain until man prays for the rain. That's how the Medrash interprets. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted that there should be such a system. We have the attitude, what do you mean if I'm not going to save the Saint Talamata, it's not going to rain? Of all the people in the world, no one's going to save the Saint Talamata, it's not going to rain. Maybe it'll rain anyway, but the Ribbono Shel Olam wants this system that human beings should pray. That's the way he set up the system. Why in the world did he set it up like that? The Kuzari has a lotion. If I would understand Alakus, I would be the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. We don't have any musag of what Alakus is all about. So we don't understand what does Ribbono Shel Olam need all the tefillahs for. But apparently it's from the Dvarim Ha'omdim Berum Shaloylam. This is the way he set up the whole world. The Rishonim are bothered with a question. If a person davens, He davens for parnasa. So look, if he deserves the parnasa, he should get it even if he doesn't daven. If he doesn't deserve it, then he shouldn't get it even if he does daven. So what is the effectiveness of tefillah? Why should tefillah be effective at all? So some of the Rishonim explain that the tefillah is effective if the person is borderline. He doesn't really deserve it that much. But if he davens, then he's machnia himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so because of his humility, when he davens, he realizes that he's not in full control. Baruch Shalom is in full control, so that because of his achnoah, so that's why he's going to be, his request will be granted. Can't say that Baruch Shalom is going to give him even though he doesn't deserve, and if he doesn't deserve, he should get without asking. He's borderline. So the Nesivos quotes this in his Sefer Nachlas Yaakov, and he says he doesn't think that that's correct. He says, that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. He wants people to daven, like this medrash on the pasuk. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't bring the rain because man wasn't created yet. And he wants man to realize that there's a need for rain in order to for vegetation to grow, so man should be mispallel. Well, the mind, la'avodas adama, la'avod means avodah shebelev, to pray for the adama, to pray that the rain should come. So the Gemara considers tefillah from the Dvarim Ha'omdim Berum Shaloylam and zulos living on the people are mezalzel. People daven by heart and they skip and they don't pay attention and they're reading a book while they're davening at the same time. It's a terrible thing. So that's how the Gemara is interpreting that pasuk. Eilu dvarim ha'omdim shaloilam b'nei adam mezalzalim bohem. It's not right at all. If we can't concentrate so long, so daven shorter. So say less davening. Don't say such a long tefillah without kavanah. It says in Shulchan Aruch told me'at be'kavanah me'at b'shaloi be'kavanah. It's better to say less with kavanah than to say a lot without kavanah. Say a lot without kavanah. There's no meaningfulness to that at all. The whole ikar of the tefillah is avodah shebelev. The person has to pay attention to what he's saying. Then the Gemara has a different, totally different interpretation of the pasuk. The krum is a bird that changes or turns all kinds of colors. Kim shecham zarachas olav, when the sun shines on the bird is misapech lekamagvanim. So when people are in need, when a person needs charity, he needs assistance of someone else, so his face turns all kinds of colors. That's a totally different interpretation. Okay. But the first interpretation is in the context of the Gemara. It's about tefillah. The tefillah is considered dvarim ha'omdim b'ruach mishaloyim. Then the Gemara says, V'amar Rachel v'amar Avun el yodim he'odim mezor b'tefillahs ha'mincha. Elio Anovi's prayers, he prayed for a miracle, and the Rabbi Shalom gave him a miracle. Eish came down in Hashemayim and burnt all of the water. Eish, usually water extinguishes fire. Here the fire caused the water to evaporate. It should have been the hepach. So a whole miracle occurred, and all of this occurred b'shas mincha. Liyolam heyodim mizor b'tfilas hamincha sheliyol novil anana ela b'tfilas hamincha. What's the significance of tfilas hamincha? Shachris is before you go to work. Maariv is after you come home. Mincha is usually in the middle of the day, and people are busy in business, and they have to take out time to daven mincha. Shachris and maariv is not such a big problem. Mincha is the problem. Do you take out time from your work, from your studies, whatever you're working on, in order to carve out time to daven mincha? So the Gemara says, Eliyahu Navi was answered, b'tfilas ha-mincha. V'hi balos ha-mincha, v'yigash Eliyahu Navi, v'yomer, aneini Hashem, aneini. So that's what the Gemara says. You see that the koyach of tfilas mincha is significant. Why do you say aneini twice? Aneini Hashem, aneini. So the Gemara interprets, aneini, sh'teri reish min Hashemayim. He asked the Rebbe Shalom to do a miracle. Usually you're not allowed to ask for a miracle. The Mishnah says later in Brochus, if the wife is pregnant, he wants Davka to have a boy, he wants Davka to have a girl. So it's too late to ask now, she's already pregnant. So he should pray to the Baruch Shalom, next baby should be a boy or girl, whatever he wants. He should pray before the wife becomes pregnant. Shouldn't ask after she's already pregnant, it's too late. You're not allowed to ask for a miracle that the boy should change to become a girl. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramos says that reciting Allah Nisim in Birchas Hamos and Chanukah is only a minhog. The Gemara raises the question in the Sugya of Chanukah, in Perek Bamem Madlikin. The Chachamim made a takana that you should recite Allah Nisim in Shmona Esrei on Chanukah, three times a day. And even if it's Shabbos, so you daven a fourth tefillah Musaf. So mitam Chanukah, you don't have to daven Musaf. It's only because of Shabbos. And the Gemara raises the question: do you have to say Al Anisim during Musaf? The Gemara says yes. All the four tefillahs, you have to say Al Anisim. What about in Birchas Hamazon? Did they make a takana that you should say Al Anisim in Birchas Hamazon on Chanukah? The Gemara says no. They never made a takana, but it's not a hefsek. If you want to say Al Anisim, you may. It's a minig to say Al Anisim on Purim. We assume in Shulchan Aruch that that's really a chayva because it's a chiyuv suda. I'm poor. On Chanukah, there is no chiyuv suda, so they will never mechayiv you to say v'al anisim on Chanukah and Birchas Hamazon. And it's a minik. So if it's a minik, on Purim, this is a Magen Avraham has a machloikis. So if a person has suda's Purim and he said Birchas Hamazon and he forgot to say v'al anisim, maybe he has to bench over again. Because if you forgot the Ritzei on Shabbos, or you forgot the Yalav Yov on Yontif, then the Gemara says later in Shlosh HaShochli, you have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. Pashta says the Birchas Hamazon, you were Yotze, but you're not Yotze the Suda Shabbos or the Suda Siyantim. That's why Tosis says that the Rebala Tosis came up with a suggestion that maybe Shalashudis, maybe there's no need to wash, maybe you don't have to have pas, maybe you don't have to have bread. So if you don't have to have bread, then the Rebala Tosis has a Chiddush. So if you bench and you forgot the Ritze, then you wouldn't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. You yotze the Birchas Hamazon even without the Ritzei, without the Yalav Yavi, just not yotze the Suda Shabbos and the Suda Siyantiv. So let's say a person ate on Friday night to be kaveh the Suda of the Shem Suda Shabbos, you need Kiddush in advance and you need the Haskoras Kedushas Hayom at the Yed and the Birchas Hamazon. So if the person says the Birchas HaMazon and he forgets Ritzeh, he forgets the Alavi Yavai, he's Yotzeh the benching, but he's not Yotzeh the Suda. So we give him an option. If you want, you can eat another Suda, but he's ready to platz. He ate so much food. Tell him to eat another meal. So the Chachamim gave him a kula, a leniency, that if he does want to eat another meal, let's say Leil Shabbos, he's sitting and eating for 3 hours and sitting his mirrors and talking and everything, and then he benches at 11 o'clock. He forgot to say Ritzeh. He's going to start eating a whole new meal now. He's stuffed. It's too much to eat. So there were mekol that they permit you to say the Birchas HaMazon a second time on the same meal. It should really be a Brach Levatolah. But the Balei HaTorah hold that Brach Levatolah is only the Rabban. So they were mekol and they say, we permit you to say the Birchas HaMazon a second time with Ritzeh to be Kaveh the Suda, the shame Suda Shabbos. But Bamedvar Mamurim, that's what Tosfos assumes, when do you need the Ritzeh or the Yalav Yavah to be Kaveh the Suda? So the shame Suda Shabbos or the same Suda Siyantiv, that's only if the Suda requires pas, and then you have to recite Birchas HaMazon. So then you have to recite, you have to mention Ritzeh, Yalav Yavah, and bench. If you could have been Yotzeh with a piece of gefilte fish or an apple or a peiros or vegetables or something, then you would have said Barnefashas. So you wouldn't have had to be masked the Kedusha Sayyam at all. So even if you did have bread, the Shalashudas, the Tosfos says that maybe you don't have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon. Same thing on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, there's a machlokes, Rosh Hashanah is a yontif, and the Pashta says there's a chiyuv simcha. Some Rishonim learned that's the Gemara's sofik. In Erev and Daf Mem, the Gemara has a sofik where the one recites Shechiyonu in Kiddush on Leil Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, Shechiyonu as a Rishus, that's for sure. If you have a Pri Chodesh, you say Shechiyonu. Why do you say Shechiyonu over a Pri Chodesh? I'm so excited about the spinach. I'm so excited about this eggplant or something. Let's say I'm allergic to the spinach or the eggplant. So I'm not even allowed to eat it. Medina the Gemara, you say Shechiyonu when they sell it in the store, even if you're not eating it. We have a meaning. We only say Shechiyonu when we're about to eat it. But Medina the Gemara says Shechiyonu when you see it in the store. So what's the...
You say Shechiyonu on vegetables?
Yeah. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you say Shechiyonu on vegetables, yeah. If it's a vegetable that comes only once a year, if the season comes, if it's a vegetable that grows summer or winter, it grows all the time, then you don't say Shechiyonu. So what's the Shechiyonu all about? The person, he's not excited about the spinach or the eggplant. He's excited that he realizes that he survived another year. Oh, they're selling watermelon, or they're selling this kind of fruit or something. So I realize, on Hagos Hazman, you say the Shechiyonu. When you buy a new house, you don't say Shechiyonu on Hagos Hazman. You're saying Shechiyonu on the fact that I bought a new house, or I bought a new automobile, or I bought a new suit or something. That's Shechiyonu on something that I'm excited about. But Shechiyonu on the fruits. The fruits don't have to belong to me, even if I'm allergic to the fruits of the vegetable. You still say Shechiyonu. Shechiyonu is on the Hagos Hazman. That's why it says in the Shulchan Aruch that there's a minig that you don't say Shechiyonu in the 3 weeks. You only say Shechiyonu on Shabbos. But in the middle of the 3 weeks, the weekdays, you don't say Shechiyonu. Shalom Aleichem. Rabbi Moshe Einstatter is a personal friend of mine for many years. When he was single, he used to live in my building, in 24 Ben. His parents lived there. And every year, twice a year, he comes. He has an arrangement where he sends money to Aniye Eretz Yisrael, and he doesn't get any cut. He'll explain to you.
And not just that, I don't get that there are no expenses that come out of the money we collect. There are expenses that accrue from our getting the money to Eretz Yisrael. They do not come out of these funds. These go to hundreds of impoverished families in Eretz Yisrael. And the reason I'm involved is because of the probity of the tzedakah, the honesty, and because every you give a dollar, that dollar goes to the Eretz Yisrael. You leave animals to say, many of them of you I recognize from previous years, but don't. This is really what it is, an honest tzedakah, a tzedakah in which there nothing comes off the top. That's the reason I come to Eretz Yisrael, and over the last number of years, I'd say more than 80%. Of the money that comes from Yitzhak Chonetz alumni, large amounts of money. And over Purim, we give to over 400 families, and if you multiply that with something significant for each family, comes out to a lot of money. more than 80% comes from Yitzhak Chonin. So that's Wehner. Whatever you can do now, please do. Whatever you can do subsequently, checks can be made out for tax reasons to Congregation Torah Tefillah Charity Fund. That's my shul. We simply exchange it. And what you can give to Rabbi Shechter, try to give it as soon as you can, family as soon as you can. And if there's a commitment, we'll lay out the money. Give it to Rabbi Shechter, and Rabbi Shechter will give it to me. So please avail yourselves. Where's the other angle?
There's the one.
That's where the eye is. What? That's your eyes. You said you need a prescription. Is a new prescription?
Yeah, this is the wrong prescription.
And?
So I beat up one eye.
So why don't you get a new prescription?
The doctor said it's not going to help. He thinks he has to do surgery and then it'll shut.
You told me last time the surgery wouldn't help.
He thinks that maybe it will help. He discussed it with other doctors. So far it's working.
Done for you.
Thank you. Yeah,
I'm well. Okay. Be in touch with me.
Good. Oh, man, I'll go to you. See you later on by Milton. Okay.
See what's in the total voice. Call it to me.
So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that if a person forgot to say Al Anisim on Chanukah, he doesn't have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon because of that. But the Rambam says, because it's only a minig in the first place, not Mikra, then you don't have to. But the Rambam says that the minig is that you say at the end, after the Yom HaMai Chasrein, the Birchas HaMazon is over. So you say, Racham Nimoch Aleinu Liyon Levar, Racham is Baruch B'Shamayim Levar. So you say so many of the Bakoshes that begin with the word HaRachman, so you say another HaRachman. Then you say, etc. So the Shari Tshuva, next to the Beheita, quotes a kasha from his Elta Zeda, the Ponim Iris, who is bothered with the kasha. How can you pray to HaKadosh Baruch that you should make a miracle? The Mishnah says you're not allowed to pray for miracles. You're not allowed to pray that it should be a boy or a girl. You're not allowed to ask for a miracle. So he quotes, the Panamiris gives three klalim. So he says, one klal is that if you're asking for a nes nister, that's permissible. A nes nister means that there's hashgacha pratis, the Rabban Shalom is supervising everything. If you ask for a nes nigla, that's what you're not allowed to do. But to ask for a nes nister, that's permissible. Yes, the Rabban Shalom should see to it that the doctor should develop a cure for a certain disease. As the person is now, he's half dead. B'derech HaTeva, he's not going to get the refuah. It's not going to get better. It's not shaykhish to get better. But we pray that the Rabban Shalom should help the doctors find a cure for this. They find cures for all kinds of things. Then he said, the second klal is even to ask for an es nigla. If it's on behalf of klal Yisrael, you're permitted to, because klal Yisrael is lamayla min hateva. That's the lesson that's learned from the story of Gidon Osher. The Yankov Avinu fights with the Malach, and he wins the battle. The Malach broke his leg, but he won the fight against the Malach. So the Rishonim give different interpretations. What are we supposed to reminisce about when we cut out the Gidon Osher from the animal? We don't eat Gidon Osher. Al Kain, Yochum Bnei Yisrael's Gidon Osher. Why to remember that story? What is there to remember? So some Rishonim say we should remember that we violated Kibbut Aviyim. Yankov Avinu was an old man. He was in his 80s, I think. And he had 12 sons who were teenagers, and they could have helped him out, and they didn't help him. So the guy mugged him, and he broke his leg. So they were mekabel on themselves. The sons were mekabel on themselves as a kapara. They shouldn't need to get on Asher to remember the fact that they were mezalzal and kibbut av, and that's why he broke his leg. And the other Rishonim say, no, it's not to remember that we violated kibbut av, and it's our fault. We should remember the lesson of the story. The lesson is that when Yankov Avinu represents Klal Yisrael, when there's a conflict between Malach represents Teva, the different kinds of Malachim. So Gemara has in one place, the Gemara says, Ein l'cho kalesa v'yesev melamata, every blade of grass that grows, Shein la Malach melamayla, is an angel in heaven, Hamaka osa omalo gadel. There are Malachim in heaven to see to it that Teva continues to function like normally. All of Teva function, because the Rebbe Shalom has Malachim, the seat where that everything continues to go. So the moral of the story is that when Klal Yisrael are up against Teva, so the Klal Yisrael ala ma'ala menateva. Ein mazal Yisrael. Mazal means we're not tachas shlitas hakechob ma'amazolas. We're not subject to Teva. So to ask for a nes on behalf of Klal Yisrael, that would be permissible. Harachman yasalon and nisim in the flow, so not asking for Yisrael, you're asking for Klal Yisrael. And then the third Klal, that's not answered with these first two. The Gemara in Tainus has a whole perek that's called Pirka de Hasidi. Has one story after another story after another story about different tzaddikim, that one tzaddik lost his wife and he had little babies. He had to nurse the baby, so a male never has milk coming out from his breast. So he prayed to the Baruch Hashem he should be able to nurse the baby. That was mamash lemaila menateva. That's not normal. Or they had beams to build the house, and the beams weren't long enough. The house was bigger than the beams. So he prayed to the Baruch Hashem that the beams should stretch out. He asked for a nes nigla. So big tzaddikim are lemaila menateva also. So they are permitted to ask for even to ask for a nes nigla. So that's over here. Eliyahu Navi prays to the Baruch Hashem. A should come down in Hashemayim, and there was water all around the Mizbeach over there, so instead of the water extinguishing the flame should cause all the water to evaporate.
In the case of a baby, and they no one knew what the sex of the baby was supposed to be.
We don't know, yeah, but no, but we know whatever it is already. Whatever it is mikvah. We don't know, but we're asking for a miracle. We know that after a certain point, all the babies start off the same, neutral. And then after a certain stage, it's nikva, whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. So if you're going to pray to the Baruch Shalom, the Gemara thinks that that stage is after 40 days. The doctors of source, I have some, there's a certain stage. After that stage, it's already nikva, whether it's going to be a male or a female. So after that stage, you know, it's already nikva. You can't see it. You don't know what it is. But that's not permissible to ask. In case it's a boy, please change and make it into a girl. Yes, ask Baruch Shalom to make a miracle. So if you're an unusual tzaddik, then big tzaddikim are also the ma'ala min ha-teva. If you're not such an unusual tzaddik, it's not permissible. So the Yod Novi asked Baruch Shalom for a big miracle. Moshe Rabbeinu asks, in Bria Yivra Hashem in Parshas Korach. He asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Bria, if the Pi Ha'aretz, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, that Pi Ha'aretz that swallowed up Korach Vadosai, was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes, at the end of the Sheshes Mei Bereishis. All of the miracles, that's how the Rambam has a whole Arichas and the Hakdama to Pirkei Avos and the Pirush HaMishnayis LaRambam, that's called the Shmoneh Prokim LaRambam. It doesn't have a better name, so we call it the eight chapters of the Rambam, the Shmoneh Prokim. So he says that all the miracles, that's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Pi HaBer and Pi HaOsain and Mon, all the Nisim were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vim Bria, and if this is where the Pi Ha'aretz is from Sheshes Mei Bereishis, I want it to open up now. And if not, Yivra Hashem, I want the Rebbeinu Shalom to make a Pi Ha'aretz over here. He's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a miracle, to change Teva. So he was an unusual tzaddik, so he has a right to it. That's in the Haftarah also. The Haftarah Parshas Korach also. What is the Haftarah about? Shmuel HaNavi, I think, is giving tochocha to Bnei Yisrael why they were rebelling against him. He was a good manik. He says, I led you properly. And he wants to teach them a lesson that because of their request to have a melech, they're rejecting his leadership. So he wants them to know that they sinned, that the whole thing was improper. So he calls upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Ktzir Chitim Hayom, it's not supposed to rain. And he calls about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants him to cause it to rain. The rain is going to ruin all of the Ktzir Chitim, going to ruin everything that they harvested. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes rain clouds and it's ready to rain. Then the people are petrified. So he asks the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to stop, that the rain shouldn't come. So the connection between the Haftarah and the Sedra is that just like in the Sedra, Moshe Rabbeinu was an unusual tzaddik, he was permitted to ask for an Eis Nigla. He asks him, Bria Yivra Hashem, so too, Shmuel HaNavi asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should halok tzir chitim hayom, and he calls upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make it rain in the middle of nowhere. Middle of the summer, and Eretz Yisrael never rains. It rains for 2 minutes. Doesn't rain for an extended period of time. Yeah, so that's the story here. So Eliyahu HaNavi says twice, Aneni Hashem Aneni. Why did he say twice Aneni? Aneni, so the Gemara interprets, Aneni, that the miracle should occur. that the Eishin come down min Hashemayim, and Anene Sheteret Eish min Hashemayim, Anene Shaliyam Maisik Shofmei. It should realize that it's not magic, that it's real, it's min Hashemayim. So Rav Huna emphasized the significance of davening tefillas hamincha. You have to take out in the middle of the day, take out time from your busy schedule. Shacharis and Maariv is not such a big problem. That's before you go to work and when you come home from work. But mincha is the problem, middle of the day. The next Amor in the Gemara says, Rav Yechanan Amar, af betefillas arvis is also important. Dam shenem betikin tefillas yikateris lefenecha masas kapai minchas orev. He understands Minchas Orev doesn't mean late in the afternoon. Minchas Orev means Mairev. That Tefillah Sarev is also a Zman that's Mesugar. I'm not Meitzchus, I'm Shachris. Everything is important. No one Tefillah is more important than the other. Okay. All the Tefillahs are important. But the first Mandama is singling out Dafke Mincha. The second one says Mincha and Mairev. Third one says they're all equally. Everything is important. Hashem Bok Yitish Makoli Bok Erech Lechov Atzapeh. So he says, Shachar is also very important. Okay, the Gemara quotes the same Mandama, Rav Chelva Omer Rav Huna. The Gemara is quoting all the memories that Rav Chelva said over in the name of Rav Huna. Yeah, the Gemara speaks about the significance of having a Sudas mitzvah when a wedding takes place. What is the significance? Every time you do a mitzvah, you throw a party. I put on talis and tefillin this morning, so I should throw a party every morning. Breakfast, but the breakfast wasn't in connection with the talis and the tefillin. So when do you have when there's a chi of simcha, then you have a suras mitzvah. On yontif there's a chi of simcha. On Shabbos there's no chi of simcha, but there's a chi of kibud v'yoinik. So oinik means oinik Shabbos. You have to have a suda. And on yontif there's an inyan of simchas yontif. So you have to have a suda. Why is there a chi of suda by a chasana? Because the chasan kala very happy, but that's not a chi of simcha. What's the chi of simcha? So there is a gemara in Beitza, gemara in Pesachim. The gemara has a machlekes between Rav Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. There seems to be a contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk says that the yontif should be celebrated on Atzeres Lashem Malakecha. Should dedicate the whole day to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Means you should daven and learn the whole day long. One pasuk says, "Atzeres tialachem," you should eat and drink and be merry. So there's a contradiction between the two psukim. So we have a klal. We have one of the Yud Gimel Midrash, Atarin Ed Reshetz by Mishnei Ksuvim, Achishim Zeh, Hashem Akas Vashlishi V'Achriyeh Beinei. Fine. What's the klal if you have Shnei Ksuvim, Achishim Zeh? There is no Kas Vashlishi V'Achriyeh Beinei. What do you do then? So that's what Rabbi Yosef Engel explains in his Sefer Beis Oitzah. He said that's exactly the machlekes. Rav Lezer and Rav Yeshua. So Rav Lezer is of the opinion when you have Shnei Ksuvim al Chishim Zezeh, it means that it's optional. You can either choose A or B. So whoever wants can eat and drink, and you have to daven Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, Ma'ariv the night before. And Yontif, you got to daven four times, Ma'ariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha. But the question is, should you elaborate? Should you daven slowly with a chazan, with a choir, and have a lot of drushes and a lot of shurim all day long? You have to eat breakfast, lunch, and supper also. You have to eat. You got to eat meals. But the question is, should you? How much time should you spend on each one? So Rav Lezer says it's optional. Okula lachem, okula lachem. You can either dedicate the whole day to learning and to davening. You have to eat the meals, but you can eat b'kitzur. It doesn't have to be an elaborate meal. Or you can dedicate the whole day to the eating and drinking and making merry. You have to daven, but you can daven b'kitzur. And we don't pass him like Rav Lezer. We pass him whenever you have, like Rav Yeshua, whenever you have Shnei Ksuvim al Chishim Zezeh, and there is no Kosem HaShlishi, Shech Rehim Menehim, you have to say, Chetzi al Hashem, Chetzi al Hashem. Chalkehu, we divide it in half. So we have elaborate davening. The davening takes longer on Yontif, longer than normally on the weekdays. You have a chazan, you have a choir, and the rabbi gives a drasha in the middle of shul, and he gives a drasha in the afternoon, he gives a drasha before Ma'ariv, gives a few drushes. So you have Chetzil Hashem, and then you have Chetzil Hashem. You have elaborate meals on Yontem. You have both elaborate meals for half of the day and elaborate davening, elaborate learning. The Rambam writes very interesting. The Rambam says there's a program. He says, First you daven Ma'ariv, and then you eat the first meal. Then you daven Shachris and Musaf, then you eat the second meal. Then you daven, and he's talking about Shabbos. Rama holds that there's Shalashudas on Yantav also. We don't pass like that. We assume that there's no mitzvah of Shalashudas on Yantav. Shalashudas is Echel a month, so the month didn't fall down neither on Shabbos nor on Yantav. So really, you should have had Shalashudas. We have two mitzvahs, Midirabbanan, that are Zechel to the miracle of the month. We have the mitzvah of Lecha Mishneh, we have the mitzvah of Shalashudas. So on Yantav, it says you do need Lecha Mishneh. There's a whole discussion on Pesach night. You have to have prusa, lechemoni, madakri shaloni be prusa, so the matzah that you eat in the mitzvah matzah with should be a broken matzah, but you need lechemishna, you have to have two shleimas, so how do you deal with that? So most assume, our practice is start off with three matzahs, you break one, so by the time you say hamotzi, alachilas matzah, you have 2.5 matzahs. So hamotzi is on the lechemishna, the two shleimas, and alachilas matzah is on the broken matzah. Other Rishonim say no. The Rambam and the other opinion in Tosfos, no. How is that lechemoni? You have 2.5 shleimas. So that's not lechemoni. So you have to dafke show that you don't have 2 shleimas. So you should start off with 2 matzahs. Break one of the matzahs, you have 1.5 matzahs on Pesach night. Not like every Shabbos Yantav you have 2 shleimas. On Pesach night to the Seder, both nights you should have 1.5 matzahs. So there are different opinions about that. But it's clear that you need lechemishna Yantav also. Other Rishonim assume you need lechemishna Yantav. Like on Shabbos, why? Because Tosfos points out the mon didn't fall down on Yontav just like it didn't fall down on Shabbos. So if you make a zecher to the Lecha Mishneh on Yontav, why don't you require Shalashudas on Yontav? Shalashudas is based on the psukim by the mon. So the Rambam Taka holds that you do. You do have Shalashudas on Yontav. But in Shulchan Aruch, we assume not like the Rambam. The Vilna Gaon says there's a Yerushalmi beferish against the Rambam, that there's no Shalashudas on Yontav. So that's a pella. How come you make a zechel amon on Yontif for the Lechem Mishneh, you don't make a zechel amon by requiring the Suda Shlishas? So it's a kasha. You got to figure out a teretz. So the Rambam writes that you have, there's a Seder, the Chetzel Hashem, Chetzel Hashem. The Rambam said the Seder is, first you have the Suda, first you daven Ma'ariv, then you have the Suda at night, then you daven Shachris and Musaf, then you have the second Suda. Then you daven Mincha, you have the third Suda. It should be Lashem Lachem, Lashem Lachem, Lashem Lachem. He writes it both by Shabbos and by Yontif like that. You have such a similar machlokes in Brochus also. That machlokes of Lezer Reb Yeshua, that's in Beitza and in Psochim. How should one observe Yontif? Because Kosev Echad Oimer, Atzeres Tiyah Lachem, Kosev Echad Oimer, Atzeres Lashem Alkech, and there is no Kosev HaShlishi, Sheachri Ebenem. So that's the Machlokes of Lezer Reb Yeshua. You have such a similar Machlokes here, on Lamed Hei Yomid Beis. And Yoshua, it says, V'hagisabo Yom V'loilam. Should learn all day and all night. Then the other Pasuk says, V'yosavta Digan Recho, V'sei Rosh Chavi Yitzar Recho. He's not learning all day and all night. He's working on the farm. So which is it? So Shnei Sivim Amakrishim Zezeh. So there's a Machlegi Satanam. How do you deal with it? So the one time is of the opinion that you have to make a choice, either A or B. There is no Kosev HaShlishi Sheikh Rebenem. So one time says, there's Man Shei Tzolosim, that's Reb Shimon Baichoy. He was sitting and learning in the cave for so many years. So he said, there's Man Shei Tzolosim, this on Laman Hamid Beis, on the fourth wide line. So he says it's either A or B. When you're osim mitzvah shal mokam, more correct is to do layom b'seifa Torah zamipicha, v'gisba yom v'loylo. More correct is to choose A. And if ain't osim mitzvah shal mokam, then you got no choice. Then you have to do v'yosafta diganecha. Because you have a conflict, you have a contradiction between the two psukim, and there's no kosev hashlishi she'achriya b'neim. So we say it's either A or B, and over here it's not that you have the option. More correct is to do A, and the second best is to do B. And we don't paskin like that. We paskin like the next time. Hanik ben minig derech eretz. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Baichoy, and he says Hanik ben it's next to the mamachishim zezeh. There is no kosev hashlishi So you have to understand on your own to make a pshara. The pshara is Torah Mada. You have to learn half a day, and you have to make a parnasa. You have to be a safta to go on echem. So the Gemara says that many people attempted to do like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. They're going to sit and learn in the kollel forever, and they were not successful. This is not a project for the masses. Many people did like Reb Shimon. They work for a living, they have a parnasa, and then they learn. When they have free time, they learn. So Hanik by Minig Dar Chayetz, you combine the two together. That's the same as we paskin over there, like Reb Yeshua, that by the two psukim, Atzeres L'Hashem, Atzeres T'Yelachem, so we paskin Chetz Shel Hashem and Chetz Shel Lachem. So the same over here. It's the same Machlek Satanam over here on Lamed Hayim and Beis.
Don't we hope that if somebody enjoys fasting better than eating,
yeah,
he can do it.
Yeah, it says in Shulchan Aruch that for those who enjoy fasting better than eating, they're allowed to fast on Yantav. Yeah.
Yeah. Not me,
no. Yeah. So there's a chiyuv suda for a person who enjoys eating better than fasting. So the chiyuv suda on Yontif because of oinig. It's really not so much because of simcha. Rabbi Kivega in the first tshuva has a discussion of this. Why is there a chiyuv suda on Yontif? Is it because of simcha? So it's not really true. It's not because of simcha. The harai calls on chalamoid. There's a chiyuv simcha also, and a person is not mechiyuv to wash on chalamoid. If he forgets yalav yalav chalamoid, he doesn't have to bench over again. You're not allowed to fast on chalamoid. But if you have other things, that you don't have to have a suda with pas. On Shabbos and on Yontav, you have to have a suda with pas. You don't have a suda with pas, you're not yaitse. So therefore, if you recite the Birchas Hamazon and forget to say yalav yalav, you have to bench over again. You were yaitse the benching, but you're not yaitse the suda of Shabbos. But on Chalmoy, there is no chib suda, it's just that there's an isa tonis. So it's not so much that the Simchas Yontav is mechayev in suda, because then it should be Chalmoy, it should be the same, and it's not. Chalmad, you forget Yalav Yav, you don't have to bench over again. It's that the Pasuk says in Yeshayah, Karas of the Shabbos Oinig, Lekdosh Hashem Echubet, it's a din of Kibud V'Oinig. So the original Pasuk, Kibud V'Oinig, only says on Shabbos, doesn't say on Yon. Karas of the Shabbos Oinig, Lekdosh Hashem Echubet. Oinig means whatever you enjoy on Shabbos. And then Kibud means the hachonis that you do in advance. When you set up the cholent, when you take a shower, when you vacuum the rug, when you set the table, when you put on big day Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, that's kibud. And then on Shabbos, you enjoy the fact that the table is set, you enjoy the fact that the food is delicious, that's called oinig. So in the Gemara, it's mashma very much that the dinner kibud of the oinig only applies to Shabbos, doesn't apply to Yontif. But somehow the Gemara has been forgotten. Now, the Rambam is more popular. The Rambam writes beferish that the four mitzvahs that are formulated by Shabbos, Zachar, B'Sham, and Kibbeh B'Yonig, all four carry over to Yontif. So the Rambam holds that Zachar is the mitzvah of Kiddush. So the Rambam's opinion is Kiddush and Avdolah are the Raisa, Bein B'Shabbos, Bein B'Yontif. That's a simple reading of the Rambam. All four, the Rambam writes that two mitzvahs in Chumash, Kibbeh B'Yonig, and the two mitzvahs in Medira Kabbalah and the Novi Yeshaya, the two mitzvahs in Chumash are Zachar, B'Sham. The two mitzvahs and Yeshaya are kibud v'yonig. So the Rambam said, all four carry over the Yontif because the Yamitayim are also Shabbos Hashem. It says you should start counting Sfira Mimachas HaShabbos. So Yontif is referred to as a Shabbos. So all the four dinim, the Zohar B'Sham and the kibud v'yonig, everything that says with respect to Shabbos carries over to Yontif. Magen Mishnah quotes those Rishonim who disagree. They hold that Kiddush and Yontif is only the Rabbanim. And the Gemara is Kemat Peferish that Kibbeh V'Yonig does not carry over to Yontif, but somehow the Rambam became more famous than the Gemara. Yeah, so that's what we assume, that the Mechayev of the Sudan Shabbos is the Oinig Shabbos, and the Gemara says that Kvod Yom Odif Mikvod Laila. The Gemara says if there's a special delicacy that the family enjoys, chopped liver or you cook the fish or something, they enjoy that better than other foods, and you only have enough to serve in one of the two meals, so you should choose to serve it in the daytime. Kvod yom, odif mikvod laila. Gemara calls it kvod yom, it really means oinig. Oinig yom is more important than oinig laila. Magen Avraham quotes a line from the Zohar that says fakert, that kvod laila odif mikvod yom. But Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, you see from the Gemara and the Zohar, atzad ha'shavah shabahem, even though they say opposites from each other, Tzad HaShavish Abaham, is that there is a separate din of Onig Bayom and Onig Balayla. You don't say it's 24 hours of Shabbos and Yontif, and you need Onig the whole Shabbos and Yontif. No, you say there's Onig Balayla, and there's Onig Bayom, and it's a machlokes between the Zohar and the Gemara. I don't know, the Vilna Gaon says there are no steers between the Zohar and the Gemara, except for walking the Dalai Lama behind the guy's davening. I don't know what he's going to do with this. But that's the Magen Avraham points this out. Maybe the Vilna Gaon has some kind of a shot. Magen Avraham says that the Zohar is the opposite from the Gemara. So we assume that the Mechayev of Psula Shabbos is not so... Mechayev of Psula Yontav is not so much the Chi of Simcha, because Chalamoid is a Chi of Simcha. The Chi of Simcha makes it that there's an Issa Tainus, but it doesn't make a Chi of Suda. The Chi of Suda is the Chi of Oneg. The Gemara calls it Kvod Yom, Kvod Laila, Kovod, but the Pashtus is that Kovod means Achonis that you do in advance of Shabbos, and Oneg is the pleasure that you derive from eating the food on Shabbos. So the Mechayiv is not really Simcha, the Mechayiv of having a Suda is really Oneg. So what's the Mechayiv to have a Suda Schosim Ekala when a couple gets married? So in that Sugya in Psochim, the Gemara has this Machlokes of Blazer, Rabbi Yeshua, how does one celebrate Yontif, because of Echonam Matzaris Tehilachem, because of Echonam Matzaris Lashem Elokecho. So Rabbi Lezer says, O Kula Lashem, O Kula Lachem, we have an option E, they have B. And Rabbi Shua says, Chalkei, O Chetz Lashem, O Chetz Lachem. So the Gemara said, there's one exception to the rule that everybody agreed. Two exceptions to the rule. Purim is one exception to the rule, because it says, Yimei Mishta V'Simchas, you have to have an elaborate meal, not just have a tuna fish sandwich. Purim, you have to have an elaborate meal. And Shavuos, Hakol Moed and Matzeres to be the Nami Lachem, you have to have an elaborate meal on Shavuos, because Yom Shenitna B'Toyru. Look up at Kabbalah Sator, you have to have an elaborate meal. That's the Gemara. All the Tanoim would agree that on Shavuos you have to have an elaborate meal. So apparently the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Psochem on Daf, around Daf Mem Tes, where the Gemara says, the wedding dinner that they serve is only considered a Sudas Mitzvah if the Chosin is a Talmud Chochem. Why? Amei Haaretz don't have a Mitzvah to get married. Everybody has a Mitzvah to get married and have children. Why is only Talmid HaChachamim? So I think maybe the Pshat and the Gemara is the following. There's a Gemara in Yevamos at the end of Perek HaBoal Yemim Tov, where the Gemara talks, the Mishnah talks about that, about the Mitzvah Pirei Berivya. The men are mechuyev, the women are not mechuyev. Machlokes is hatanan. We pass the women are not mechuyev, and then a machlokes is b'shavim b'sil, different versions. How many children do you have in order to fulfill a mitzvah period of you? So in the middle of that sugya, the Gemara says, Hashori b'lo isha, before a person gets married, shori b'lo bracha, shori b'lo simcha, shori missing a lot of things. So it says, shori b'lo Torah. A person is single, is missing out on liman Torah. As much learning as he accomplishes, there's something missing. When he's going to be married and have a yeshiva das, he'll be able to learn better. So when a Talmid Chacham gets married, it's like a new Kabbalah Sator. We're Kabbalah Torah in Har Sinai, and every year on Shavuos we celebrate in commemoration of Kabbalah Sator. And the Gemara says, "L'kavod Kabbalah Sator." All the Tanoim agree that you have to have a Sudas Mitzvah, an elaborate Sudas Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, when a Talmid Chacham gets married, it's a Sudas Mitzvah because Ashor B'Leish is Ashor B'Leish Torah. So when he gets married, when the Talmid Chacham gets married, he's probably going to pick up in his learning, he's going to learn more. So it's considered a new Kabbalah Satorah. So the new Kabbalah Satorah, there's also a Chiyuv to have a Suda. Not only is there a Chiyuv Suda on Shavuos, the Gemara says that on Hakol Moed and Batzeres, then the Gemara says also Hakol Moed and Purim. Everyone agrees on Purim, you have to have an elaborate meal. So some of the Achrayim, some of the Gaonim, and the Rishayim and Achrayim had the Girsin. In the Mordechai, when the Mordechai quotes this from the Shiltis, Hakol Moed Man Purim, because it's also Yom Shenitna B'Torah. Why is Purim Yom Shenitna B'Torah? So they say, because Kima V'Kiblu, Kima Mashi Kiblu Kvad. There's another Kabbalah Sater. So the Kabbalah, when you commemorate the first Kabbalah Sater on Shavuos, you have to have an elaborate meal. When you commemorate on Purim the second Kabbalah Sater, you also have to have an elaborate meal. Yom Shenitna B'Torah. So when a person is a Talmid Chacham and he gets married, his learning is going to pick up, so it's not like a new Kabbalah Satayra. So that's what the Gemara says. It's only a Suda Sachasana. It's only a Suda Mitzvah if it's a Talmid Chacham getting married. If it's not a Talmid Chacham getting married, then it's only a Suda Rishus.
There's a Gemara that says it's the woman around your neck hard to learn.
Yes.
So isn't it going to be hard to learn now?
The Gemara says, not a woman around his neck. He has to make a parnasa. He has to get a job. Rechaim et savara, the asik batayra. The Gemara says, how is he going to learn? Okay, so sometimes when he gets married, it takes away from his ability to learn. Somehow that's going to be taken care of if they're going to support him for a couple of years. Then we assume that he's going to pick up in his learning. So the reason why it's a sudas mitzvah is because it's a new kabbalah satar. Yeah, but most of the people who get married are not tamid chachamim. So most of the chasanas are not a sudas mitzvah. So the Mordechai quotes from the Maharam Rutenberg, that was the Rebbe of the Mordechai, that there's a concept of sudas hoidoya. Let's say a person celebrates his 50th wedding anniversary, a person celebrates his 50th birthday, or something like that. A person celebrates he graduated college, or he got smicha, or they just appointed him the president of a big university. So they have a whole celebration. So that's a sudas hoidoya. So there's a concept of sudas hoidoya, if a person has what to be thankful for. We learn that, where do we learn this institution of sudas hoidoya? We learn from Karban Toidah. A person wants to express his gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is kind to him. So he brings a Karban Toidah, and everybody is put in a good mood. Everybody eats the lamb chops, everybody eats the steaks, and they're in a happy mood, and then he expresses his gratitude. He thanks the Rabbanu Shalom. So there is such an institution on the level of the Rises of Sudas Hoidoya. So that's what the Mordechai quotes to Maharam Rutenberg. If an Amoritz gets married and you want to convert the Sudas Achasen into a Sudas Mitzvah, but by him there is no Kabbalah Satara. He didn't learn before. He's probably not going to learn so much now either. So you can convert it into a Sudas Mitzvah by singing Shiris V'Sishbachas. It doesn't mean you sing Shiris V'Sishbachas Am Yisrael Chai. I mean, you sing Shiris V'Sishbachas, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they met each other and they're happy with each other. So you express your gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's like a Karban Toidah. That's based on Karban Toidah. There's such an institution of a Sudas Hoidoya. So that's what the Gemara says over here. I think the Gemara here means the same. The Gemara says, Kol anenim Sudas Chos Veinim Misamcha, there's a mitzvah to be Misamech, Oiva B'chamisha Kerlo, Shinema, Kol Sosam V'Kol Simcha, Kol Chosam V'Kol Kalo, Kol Arim Hodes Hashem Tzuakas, Shai, and Yirmiyah, V'im Misamcha Maschara, what reward does he get? Should be mida connected mida. What mida connected? Amr Rav Shimon Levi Zerchel Torah. She need to make hamisha kodesh and emar. It says, "But he kolus a brok and kolus is in plural. The kol shofar is singular. There's a third call. The he kolus shofar is one call. The kimyanen of the kol is another call. So it's three singular calls, and then kolos is in the plural. So you have five kolus. The Gemara says, since he's participating in a sudas chasana, which is the kabbat kabbalas haTorah. So he will be zeicha mida kenegan mida to hatzlocha and learning, if he's interested in having that. Because the reward is mida kenegan mida. He was mechabed the chosen by participating in his kabbalah satara, the chosen's kabbalah satara, if he's a tamachochem. So then it's a sudas mitzvah because of the kabbalah satara. So then he will be rewarded mida kenegan mida. He'll be zeicha titer. What if it's an amoritz getting married? So you have to sing Shiris V'Sishbochas to convert it into a Sudas Mitzvah because of the Sudas Hoidoya, like a Karban Toidah. So the Gemara says, if he's a Talmud Chacham also, you can label it as a Sudas Mitzvah because of the Sudas Hoidoya. So the Gemara says, that's another consideration. What does the Gemara say? First one says, Zecher L'Tor. The second one says, what's the second one? Rabbo Amakilu Hikrif Toidah. It's considered as if he brought a Karban Toidah, because a Karban Toidah is for the purpose of expressing Sudas Hoidoya, expressing Hakoras HaTev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if he sings Shiris V'Sishbachas by the wedding, to express gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it converts the Sudas Chasen into a Sudas Hoidoya. So even if he's not a Talmud Chacham. So that's considered Kila Hikra Karban Toidah. And the third one says, Nachma Yitzchak Amar, Kila Banachur V'Achas Mechubas Yerushalayim Shenemar. And he quotes the pasuk there in Yirmiyah. What does it have to do with Banu Churba Achas Mechubas Yerushalayim? So I think what it perhaps means is the following. The Gemara says there in the end of Perek Habal Yevimta, the sugya of Perek Berivya. So the Gemara says that there's a machlokes amaroyim. What if one had children and the children died? Is he yotzei Perek Berivya or not? So we pasken, you're not yotzei. Because the nature of the mitzvah of Perek Berivya is to transmit the Torah to the next generation. So you have to have children who will be able to have their own children, who will be able to have their own children. Let's say a person has a son and a daughter, but they're not normal, and they're not going to be able to get married, they're not going to be able to have their own children. So you're not Yotze, you have to have a son and a daughter. It looks like they're going to get married. You can't control everything, but it looks like they're healthy, it looks like they're normal, it looks like they're going to get married. And you're going to educate the children, you're going to transmit Torah values to the children, and they're going to transmit to their children. So that's, we assume, that's the nature of the mitzvah, piruv rivyum. So the other, that's the way we assume. So if mesu, if they die before they themselves had children, then you're not yotze piruv rivyum. If they already had their own children, so then even if the children die, you're already yotze piruv rivyum. If they had their own children, if they didn't have yet, they died before they have their own children, then you're not yotze piruv rivyum. The other opinion of the Gemara is no, that the nature of the mitzvah piruvia is not to transmit Torah to the next generation. Kodematan Torah, the mitzvah piruvia applied even to the Ummah Salam, applied to everybody. So then the nature of the mitzvah is piruvu milus ha'aretz, to populate the world. But after Matan Torah, the Gemara says the nature of the mitzvah changed. It only applies to the Jewish people. It doesn't apply to the non-Jews. So the Pasha only applies to the Jews, and the nature of the mitzvah is still the same, milus ha'aretz. Probably not. After Matan Torah, the whole nature of the mitzvah changes. The nature of the mitzvah is, we're going to see a Gemara later also in the first paragraph about that. The nature of the mitzvah now is to transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation. See to it that we transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation. So the Gemara has the other opinion the Gemara holds, no, even if you have children and they die, you also Yotze Piruvia. Why? Because there's a chamber in heaven that's called Guf Gimel Vav Pei. And all the Jewish souls are in that chamber. And every time a Jewish baby is born, the soul comes from, the neshamas come from the guf. And Ben David, the Mashiach, will only come, when all of those Jewish souls will be born into the world, so then Mashiach will come. So if they're going to be, all the Jewish souls will be used up, so how can babies be born after Mashiach comes? No more babies be born. We assume they're going to recycle the souls. That's the concept of Gilgal. The Mekubala made a whole story about Gilgal, that we have Gilgulim now, even before Mashiach comes. If a person sinned the first time he was in this world, so his soul will have to come back again to be misakin what he messed up the first time around. That's a concept in Mekubalim. But even without the Mekubalim, the Gemara says, Mashiach will come and all the souls in this chamber in heaven in Guf will be born. And then what's going to be after that? So we'll have to recycle all the souls. We'll recycle starting all over again from the beginning. So the Gemara says, if one should assume that the nature of the mitzvah piruviri after Matan Torah, kodem Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah is milus ha'aretz, to populate the world. So even non-Jews had the mitzvah. After Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah changes. It's to hasten the coming of Mashiach. We have an obligation to hasten the coming of Mashiach. And every time we have a Jewish baby, even if the baby's going to die, that's another neshama that came out from the guf, and this is hastening the coming of Mashiach. We don't paskan like that. We don't paskan. That's the nature of piruviri. We assume the nature of piruviri is to transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation, not so much to hasten the coming of Mashiach. So if you have an Orthodox couple who get married and they're planning to have children, some of the Nochrim get married, they plan not to have any children. They don't want to have any children. But if you have a Jewish couple who's planning to have children, so we can already say, we already know, al shem ha'asid, that they're hastening the coming of Mashiach and the Geula, because every time another baby is born, we don't accept the opinion in the Gemara that that's the nature of the mitzvah, but we agree to that statement. That is accepted. They both accept that. We paskan that that's not the nature of peer review, but that's why the Gemara says, perhaps that's why the Gemara says, Kila banachur v'achas mechuvas Yerushalayim, one who participates in the Sudas Chasana, it is celebrating al shem ha'asid, the hastening of the coming of Mashiach, the hastening of the Geulah. Maybe that's the pshat in the Gemara. Yeah, why the Gemara says, v'amesamchoi, maschoroi, so the first one says, Rabbi Shuma Levi says, zecha l'toira, and Rabbi Bo says, Kilo Hikru Kovin Taida, because you converted into a Suda Saidoya. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok says, Kilo Abbanachur Vachas Mechavis Yerushalayim, because he was celebrating the fact that we're going to hasten the coming of Mashiach by having more Jewish babies. Otherwise, it's a very enigmatic Gemara. What's the connection between these things and getting married? Yeah. There is a Hebrew expression, Dvarm hayetzim en alev, nechnasim el alev. Yeah, where does it come from, this Gemara? Amar abchel v'am abunu kolod m'sheish lo yirashamayim, dvarm nishmoim. If a person is a yirashamayim, so whatever he says, he'll probably say, min alev, he'll say sincere things. So dvarm hayetzim en alev, nechnasim el alev, so if dvarm hakol nishma, because it's alikim yiro, because the one who's speaking is a yirashamayim, is dvarm hayetzim en alev, so it'll be nechnasim el alev, it'll be so if dvarm hakol nishma. The people will listen. The people will listen. Around 2 minutes, Yirei Shemaim around. When we bench Rosh Chodesh, we say twice, Chaim Sheishmam Yirei Shemaim. We all need a double dose of Yirei Shemaim. It's not enough once. We say twice, Chaim Sheishmam Yirei Shemaim. Yeah. Then the Gemara says, that's that posik, the very last posik in Kohelet. Sof Tava Kol Nishmas Al Kim Yerus Mitzos Shemar, Kizeh Kol Hodem. That's the last posik in, next to the last posik in Kohelet. Kizeh Kol Hodem. What does that mean, Kizeh Kol Hodem? Amar Ablozer, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Kol Hodem Kul Nivra Ad Bishvil Zeh. The whole world was created for one person. The next mandama says maybe what it means is shokels that can egg kol olam kula. He's as important as the rest of the world. Shem ben Azai says kol olam kula neivela the tzvasla zeh, to keep him company. But really, the whole he's saying the same as the first mandama. Kol olam neivela b'shvil zeh. The Rambam in the Hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnayis, which is printed in the back of the Gemaras, has a famous comment on this. Why is it so famous? Because the Brisker Rav quotes it in his Sefer HaChumash, he made it famous. Until he quoted it, no one ever heard of it. But the Rambam has, he quotes this Gemara. It's Davov HaMedbeis. So here it's in page 110. In the back of the normal Gemara, it's page 110. On the bottom of the first column, about 20 lines from the bottom, where it says in parentheses, Brachas Perikalov Davov. Mike is there, kol hodem, kol olam kula nivra ele mitzvas lazeh. He says, the Rebbeinu Shlom created the world, there was only one human being, Adam Rishon. So, Adam Rishon was supposed to be a scholar and a tzaddik, and he should keep all the mitzvahs, le'ovda l'shamra. So the Rebbeinu Shlom created Chava as an Eze Kenegda. What does it mean, Eze Kenegda? So the Brisker Rav makes a suggestion, this doesn't say in the Rambam, but based on the Rambam he says it. The world would have been created for one person, Adam HaRishon. You didn't need millions of people in the world. It's kedai to create a whole world. But he needed a wife, should be, if he has to plant his own food, he has to bake his own, he has to grind his own wheat and make his own flour and bake all the food on his own. He has to make his own clothing. So he's going to be busy all day and all night taking care of his physical needs. So how's he going to be able to do Avodas Hashem, the Ovdo, the Shomer? He was born into the world. So he has to have an Ezer Kenegdo. He needs an Ezer. We need other people in the world. Other people. I'm not a farmer. The farmers plant the food and someone else grinds the grain and he makes flour and the baker makes challahs. My wife bakes the challahs for Shabbos. Somebody raises behemoths and someone else shechts the behemoths and then the butcher shop sells the flesh. So that's all taken. My wife cooks the flesh. Everybody else does it. And then the Rambam says, and it's on page 110, the Rambam says, if one person is all by himself, he's going to do all the mitzvahs, all the tariyag mitzvahs, he's going to go out of his mind. He's going to be all alone. He needs a little companionship. So he needs a little kenegda also. So the reason why the Rebbeinu Shlom created so many other people, why did he create Chava? Why didn't he just create Adam HaRishon? Adam HaRishon will live forever. He'll do Avodas Hashem. The answer is he needs an Ezer. And you need a kenegda, you need other people to take care of preparation of the food, preparation of the clothing, and so on. And you need a kenegda. You shouldn't go out of your mind from some loneliness. But really, it would have been kedai to create a world just for one person, if that one person is going to be a tzaddik, a shema mitzvah, some adaktik mitzvah. So that's, the Rambam says it based on the Brisker Rav, he elaborates upon it in a Sefer HaChumash. So he said, that's what it means. The whole world was created for one person. The purpose of the creation is for one person. Then the Rambam gives his funny mashal. He says, there's an Arab sheik who builds kasbah in the middle of the desert, and there's trees there, and they have wild dances there, and they have gambling, and they have all kinds of crazy things. They have wild parties there. So what was the purpose of creating, of building this mansion and planting the trees? It didn't serve any it didn't serve any positive purpose whatsoever. But it may be in 5,000 years after he built the building, it may collapse in 5,000 years. But maybe in 200 years after he builds this mansion, a scholar may be passing by, and he'll be tired, so he'll take a nap and rest outside of the building, so the building will give him shade, or the trees will give him shade, and he will be restored back to his full health. Then he'll be able to do his scholarship, he'll be able to do his Avodas Hashem later. So the tachlis of the building of this mansion was accomplished. Their Boshel made a big world, they made a lot of things in the world. So the tachlis of the whole Bria is that people should use everything in the world for Avodas Hashem. So that's what it means. Chava was created as an Ezek in Egdai, to help out Adam Rishon, to take care of preparing the food, take care of preparing the clothing, and the Kenegdo, he shouldn't be Shomem, he shouldn't go out of his mind from loneliness, but really the whole world would have been Kedai to be created for one person. And everything in the world, everything that's done in the world, ultimately is going to have one purpose, to serve in Avodas Hashem. That's what the Brisker Rav had a comment on the Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, Lasi Lavar, the Rabbanu Shlom is going to judge all the nations of the world, and he's going to take out the Torah, and he's going to say, who learned the Torah, who supported Liman HaTorah, should come, and you're going to give your reward. So the Greeks and the Romans are going to say, we built all the bridges that the Talmid HaChacham should be able to travel to the yeshivas, made all the highways that they should be able to travel to learn Torah, so we want to get reward. So the Rebbeinu Shlom says he's going to punish them. He says, you're a bunch of fakers. You built all the bridges to make money on charging taxes and highways. You didn't build it for the Jews to sit and to travel to the yeshivas to learn. Let's say the airlines are going to say, they made an airline that the yeshiva Bochum from America should go learn in Eretz Yisrael. That's why they made the airline. That's not true. So Rabbi Salvechik said, how can they be such liars? How can they say such a sheka on the Yom HaDin? Rebbeinu Shlom is going to punish them for saying, Shek says, no, it's really endless. He said this like this Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah. The tachlis of everything in the world is to lead up to Avodas Hashem. The purpose of everything that's made, whether human beings make a mansion, or the Rebbeinu Shlom made something, the tachlis of everything is ultimately to lead up. That wasn't what they had in mind. So the Rebbeinu Shlom is not going to reward them. That's not what they had in mind. But ultimately, behind the scenes, that was the Rebbeinu Shlom's tachlis. Why it's important to build all the bridges, and why it's important to have the internet, and not everyone should be able to hear the shiurim that we're giving in Yeshiva University. All over the world, they're listening to the shiurim. That's the whole tachlis of the internet. Tachlis of everything that people do in the world. Yeah. That's how the Mesillas Yesharim has an introduction to the Sefer. He says, when Yaakov Avinu ran away from Esav, so he says, so he took a few stones. Then it says in the morning, he took the one stone. So the Gemara says in Chulin, it's a contradiction. It says, it sounds like he took a few stones. Then it says, there was only one stone. So the Ibn Ezra says on the Pasuk, he doesn't see what the steer is. He took one of the stones that was there and he used it as a pillow. But the Gemara presents it as if it's a steer. Did he take plural, did he take a few stones, did he take one stone? Mara says he took a few stones, and each stone was vying with the other stone, Alay Anich Tzadikas Rosha, Alay Anich Tzadikas Rosha. So all of the stones, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle, all of the stones blended in, and they were all Tachas Rosha. They were all one big stone. Everything had accomplished its purpose in being created. The Rebbeinu Shlom created stones in the world to serve the Tzadik. Rabbanu Shalom had put a bug into people's heads. They should make beautiful mansions, and they should build, and they should plant beautiful trees, so that a tzaddik should be able to rest in the shade of the tree, should be able to eat a meal in the mansion, and should be able to restore his good health and go on to do more Avodas Hashem. Everything in the world is for the purpose of the one tzaddik. Everything is as an ezer kenegdo for the one tzaddik. Kizek kol ha'adam. The whole purpose of the Bria is for one tzaddik. There was a, I think around 50 years ago, a Ger Rebbe passed away. I forgot already which one it was. Maybe the Beis Yisrael passed away. So they wrote up in the newspapers, different hanhogas that he had. So they wrote up in the Israeli newspapers that once one of the chassidim was a sofer and he came to the Rebbe. He told the Rebbe that he has a chumrah, he does a midas chassidus, that he only uses hides that were made into parchment from glat kosher geshachten and behemoths, even though the Gemara says you can't use from a behemoth tmeya. The huksha, we learned the Gemara yesterday, the huksha melech shamayim balor behemoth tar belvad, because they have to have min amuta beficha, the man teo teros Hashem beficha, min amuta beficha. So this, but the Gemara says, as long as from a kosher animal is a behemoth Torah, you can even use nevedus a treifus also, as long as the animal is a min Torah. So this chassidish sofer told this Rebbe, the Ger Rebbe, he has a personal chumra that he uses dafke glat kosher geshachten. But the Rebbe told him, I think you should do just the reverse. The glat kosher geshachten behemoth, they have a tikkun, they have accomplished the tachlis, why they came into the world. People, chassidish people, are going to eat the glat kosher food, and they'll be able to have koach to learn and to do mitzvahs and to avodas Hashem. But nebuch, the nevelis and the treifas from the glat kosher, they didn't accomplish any tachlis in the bria. So maybe you should bedavka use the hides from the nevelis and treifas, they should also serve a purpose in the bria. Everything in the world has to serve alay anich tzadikas rosh. Everything has to serve in avodas Hashem. Anyway, that's the Gemara. This is the Gemara that the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah says. Kizeh kol ha'adam, kol ha'olam kula nivra b'shvil zeh, and kol ha'olam kula nivra ele l'tzvas l'zeh, to keep him company. So that's what Rav Dovla suggests. Maybe that's the pshat, that Chava was created. Ezer kineg, the Ezer means to help him out. He shouldn't have to do all the planting and all the harvesting and everything. And kineg, though, to keep him company, that he shouldn't go out of his mind from loneliness. Then they quote the same Amoira, Rab Chelba quotes the name Rapuna, Kol Shedem B'chavim Shirog, Litn Lo Shalom, Yagdan Lo Shalom, you should greet him. And if someone greets you and you don't answer back, you're considered a gazlan. Nosan Lo, someone greets me, V'lo Hechzir, I don't return Shalom to him. Nikra Gazlan, Shenemer, V'atem B'yartem HaKerem, Gzele Sa'oni B'vatechem. What can you steal from a poor man? You can steal from rich people, you can steal their money, steal their jewelry. What does a poor man have that's worth stealing? What's gzeilas ani b'vatechem? So Gemara says, his shalom aleichem. You stole the shalom aleichem. He greeted you, he said good morning. And you ignore him, you don't answer him back. Good Shabbos, good Yantif. So that's gzeilas ani. You mechuyev mitam derech eretz. If someone greets you, you mechuyev mitam derech eretz. To say, answer back, good morning, good Shabbos, whatever. If you don't answer back, so you're cheating him. So you cheat a person from his... legal rights. So that's gzeila. Gzeila is not only I stick my hand in your pocket and I take out the money from your pocket. This is also called gzeila. Then the Gemara has on the top of Zayin Amin Aleph, Minayin Shakodesh Bochum Mispalel. Shenema, what do you mean he's Mispalel? Who is he Mispalel to? Mispalel to himself, my Matzli. What is the whole idea? Shakodesh Bochum Mispalel. So we say from Ram Soloveitchik, he thought, Rashi HaChumash writes in Bereshis, Rashi quotes a Medrash. Most of the Rashi's on Chumash, when Rashi writes at that diktuk, so that's Rashi's writing on his own. And he's quoting the Medaktikim. But when Rashi says something, an idea, it's always usually from a Medrash or from a Gemara. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested on Shabbos. V'yamish v'yishavas v'yi nofash. He gained back his breath. What, he worked so hard during the 6 days he had, the 6 days of creation, he worked so hard, he had to relax on Shabbos. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Hichtiv b'yatzma menucha. Kodesh Boche dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, right in the Chumash that I relaxed, that I rested. So human beings have to go b'halachta b'zrochem, they have to go in the ways of Hashem. So write about me that I rested on Shabbos, that they'll know they should also rest. There shouldn't be workaholics, they shouldn't work all week long. So sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, he tells the Nevi'im, this is a Pasuk in Navi, this is a Pasuk in Navi, he has the Nevi'im write things that are not exactly accurate, it's not 100% true, it's not a lie, but it's not exactly the truth, that the Rabbanu Shalom davens. What's the significance of saying that he davens? So we should know the way for us to preserve Atzelem Elokim is to go b'halachta b'drachma, to go in the ways of Hashem. So there are certain mitzvahs, wearing tefillin and davening, there are certain mitzvahs that are for the purpose of preserving the Atzelem Elokim. Hichta b'atzma menucha, we should know that we have to relax also. There are midrashim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he didn't like it, he destroyed it. Then he created the world, he was Bari Alamas HaMachrivan. Created the world and he destroyed it, created the world. So what do you mean? If he wanted it to be a beautiful world, whatever his ratzon was, is going to be. So why did it have to create and destroy? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that's the pshat there also. Hichtiv b'atzmo, he said about himself that he created and he destroyed. If he wanted it to be a wonderful world, it's going to happen like that. It's going to be wonderful. Human beings, we have chalomus. A fellow gets married and he thinks it's going to be marvelous and then it doesn't work out well. So after so many years, he has to get divorced. It's terrible. Or people take this job, they think it's going to be the best thing in the world. A guy goes to this yeshiva, he comes to this shir, that's going to be the most wonderful thing. It doesn't turn out the way he thought it was going to be. Because he doesn't know in advance what's going to turn out. But the Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever he wants, that's what it's going to be. So what do you mean? He created the world and he destroyed it. He created the world and destroyed it. He wrote, he implied in the Tanakh that that's what he did to teach us that we should do like that. That human beings make mistakes. So if we made a mistake, we should do tshuva and start all over again. And even if you made a mistake a second time and 10 times, kisheva yipol tzadik will come. Even if you made a mistake many times, you can start all over again. So hichti biatzmo. He wrote in the Tanakh, he told the Nevi'im, write as if I need Menucha on Shabbos. He doesn't need, that's Hichtiv B'atzma. It's not a lie, but it's not the truth either. So this also, Hichtiv B'atzma, that he was Borei Olamos Machrivan, to teach us that that's how we should act in life, and that's V'alachta B'drachav, that's of preserving Atzelem Elokim. It's part of the Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then Nimor tells a story that Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha Kohen Gadol once went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim Lefnai v'lefnim, that's only on Yom Kippur. Once he was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, and the Ribbono Shel Olam, someone, some malach representing the Ribbono Shel Olam, said, give me a bracha. Yishmael b'ni barcheni, give me a bracha. So he said, a bracha, yiratz mal fanecha. What did Ribbono Shel Olam need his bracha for? So the Gemara says, Michael Mashmalon, what's the moral of the story? Shalat Tebra Chesed Yikal b'enecha. Even a human being can give a bracha to the Baruch Shalom. We don't know exactly what that means. What does a bracha mean? The Baruch Shalom needs a bracha. We don't fully understand what this means. But the Gemara says even a bracha from a hedyot. A klala is on the kilas chacham. Afil al tanai miskayem. To give a klala that should be a zinger has to be kilas chacham. A bracha, even a hedyot can give a bracha also. Kilas birchas hedyot should be chashiv. They have Rav Zevin, I think, quotes the story in Isha Meshitas that once a woman came to the Ragat Shava and she asked him to give her a bracha. So she kept on asking. He says, he doesn't give any bracha. Not a chassidish Rebbe. He doesn't give bracha. She kept on insisting. Then she said, the Heilige Chazal say, al tehi berchas hedyot kal beinecha. Then she realized what she called him a hedyot. So she said, kal v'chaymer, if you're a tamachachem. So he said, go around the corner, there's a chassidus Rebbe, he'll give you a bracha without a kal v'chaymer. What do you need my bracha with a kal v'chaymer? He was very sharp. But the Gemara talks about birchas hedyot and kilas chachem, two different things. Birchas hedyot is an inyan. Birchas hedyot. What's the next Gemara? They keep on calling Rabbi Yochanan the name, Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rabbi Yechon, if he would say Amar Rabbi Yechon and Amar Rabbi Yossi, it would mean that he heard it directly from Rabbi Yossi. Like Amar Rabbi Yudah Merav, Amar Rabbi Yudah Meshmol means that he heard directly. Amar Rabbi Yechon Mishum means that he heard it in the name of Rabbi Yossi. He didn't hear it directly from Rabbi Yossi. He never saw Rabbi Yossi. So they quote a few members here. Amar Rabbi Yechon and Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Minayin she miratzim ladon mishas kasam. Like you're not merachem olav b'shosh shemesim mutal lefanav. He's not in a mood to accept the tanchumen. So when a person is in a fit of rage, he's not in a mood to be calmed down. You have to wait till he shouldn't be meratzim him when he's in the fit of rage. You have to wait till he calms down and then you mefies him. So he quotes the pasuk. Quotes the pasuk that sounds as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is angry at Bnei Yisrael because of the Chet HaEgel. And he says, when I'll calm down, then you'll, when the Rosh Hashanah tells Moshe Rabbeinu, when I'll calm down from my anger, then you can come to me and be mefais me on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So the psukim talk about the fact that the Rabbanu Shalom gets angry. So the Gemara picks up a whole discussion on that. Is that true? Mi'ika Rizcha Kami the Kodesh Bricha on the fourth wide line. Is there such a thing that the Rabbanu Shalom gets angry? And Gemara says, yes. The Tanya Be'ava Pasik until him kills Zoyim B'chol Yoyim. The Rabbanu Shalom gets angry every day. How much time is he angry there? 24 hours every day. How much time? V'kama Zamo Rega. A moment. V'kama Rega. How long is a moment? So a moment is what? 1 over Chameshes Riba is 50,000. Riba is 10,000. Chameshes Riba is 50,000. So he says 58,888. Bishur, in an hour. If they're 24 hours in a day, so how much of a split second is that? 1 over 58,888?
1/16 of a second.
So the Rabbanu Shalom only gets angry 1/16 of a second. That's what the first one says. 1 over 58,888. Then there's a gifs on the side. 88,888. On the left margin. 88,888. Then the Gemara says later, another opinion is Kama Rega, Kelzaim B'chol Yom Rega. They quote, what's the other pasuk that is Rega? Ki Rega B'yapachayim Ritzon. The Rabbanu Shalom gets angry Rega. Then Gemara has another opinion. How much is Rega? Rega can name Re. The amount of time that it takes to pronounce the word Rega. Rega can name Re. The amount of time that it takes to pronounce the word Rega. Where's that Gemara? Here it is. The line begins, the wider lines. Amar Abavin Vitamar Abavina. Rega can name Re. The amount of time it takes, yeah. Usually we assume the smallest amount of time is Tech Kedei Dibur. The Halacha considers you can go a second, a split second, a 1/16 of a second. So we usually assume that there's a Gemara in the end of Nedarim. Gemara says there that a person thinks that his relative just died. So he rips Kriya. Then he sees the relative is still alive. The relative tosses over, and now he dies. So he ripped Kriya before he died. So the Gemara says, if the relative dies, Terk de Dibra, when he ripped the Kriya, so he's Yotze. But bottom line, he still ripped Kriya before the relative died. So you see from the Gemara that Terk de Dibur is considered the smallest amount of time that the Halacha recognizes. So it's considered as if he ripped Kriya simultaneously with the death of the relative. There's no such requirement that you have to rip Kriya over a mace. The Kriyim have to rip Kriya after the person dies. If they rip simultaneously with the death of the person, you also Yotze. What's called simultaneously within Terche de Dibur. The relative died first, the person rips Kriya first, and then the relative dies Terche de Dibur, so that's considered simultaneous. It's a chidush to such a Gemara in Yavam. Is also, the Gemara talks also in different Masichta about Ein Issa Chal Al Issa. If something has one Issa, so the second Issa can't be Chal. So there are certain exceptions to the rule. Issa Kelul, Issa Moisev, and then there's an exception to the rule. Issa Basachas. If the two Issurim are Chal simultaneously, Issa Basachas, then they're both Issurim are Chal. So the Gemara gives an example of an Issa Basachas. A Kohen is Tohar, and he's able to be Makar Korbanos and the Beis HaMikdash. If he becomes Tomei, then he's forbidden to be makor kabbalas and beis hamikdash. Then he cuts off a finger, it becomes a balmum. So the isa balmum is not chal. The psul balmum is chal, but the isa, there's an avera for a balmum to be makor kabbalas. So if the fellow first became tamei, then he became a balmum. First he became a balmum, then he became tamei. So then he will not be loika twice, because then isa chal al isa. Once the first isa was chal, so the second isa is not chal, that he should get twice malchus. What if he became a balmum and he became tamei simultaneously, bevasachas? So then you don't say any sechal alisa, the second isa is not chal. The both isur machal simultaneously. The Gemara gives an example. Where do you have an isa basachas? The kohen is tohor, and he puts his finger on top of a very sharp knife, and it cuts off his finger. So he became tamei by touching the knife simultaneously with cutting off the finger. So Tai says, but it's still not simultaneously. The second he touches the knife, he already becomes Tomei. And when the knife succeeds in cutting off the finger, So then it becomes a balmum. So it's not bebasachas, it's bezachazet. So Taisa says in such a short period of time, that's considered basachas. Well, what's a short period of time? Taisa doesn't say, but the Pashim Pshat is, if it's terkedei dibur. So the halacha considers terkedei dibur as if it's bebasachas. That's why the Gemara has, let's say, a person sells some property that he has, and he backs out terkedei dibur. A person takes a neder or a shvua, and he backs out terkedei dibur. So when he backs out terkedei dibur kedibur dami, you can back out from the kinyan, you can back out from the neder or the shvua. It's considered as if it's bebasachas, and he didn't have das. He had das, and he didn't have das at the same time. So it's a contradiction. So there's no das. So it cancels it. So here the Gemara is saying that there's a that's as far as Bnei Adam are concerned. So the smallest amount of time that we consider is a terkedei dibur. Here the Gemara talks about the Ribbono Shel Olam. So rega kememre, the amount of time that it takes to pronounce the word rega. Or 1/16 of a second. Wow. That's much less than terkedei dibur. Harif Ayin is more than terkedei dibur. Probably half a minute. Harif Ayin, I don't think he means Harif Ayin, the blink of an eye. It probably means half a minute. We said the Gemara Nida has two versions, where the Rabbi Yosef means the last half minute of Rabbi Yehuda is 25 minutes, or the next half minute after the first 25 minutes are up. Probably does mean Harif Ayin, a split second. Probably means a half a minute.
Yeah. All
these
things, Rabbanishim doesn't have any human emotions.
Yeah.
And so, previously we said that it's going to teach us. So, you can say the same thing here. The emotion is so much detail. Why here? So much detail about how much is the emotion? It's teaching us that we should be angry.
Human beings are angry. This is the maximum. Shouldn't get angry more than angry. Could be. Could be that that's what it means. Here the top Tosis has a famous kasha. Bilam knew he wanted to curse the Jewish people. He knows that Rabbi Shalom gets angry every day, rega, just a split second. So he wanted to curse the Jewish people. How come? How much can you say already in a rega commemorate? If it's 1/16 of a second, or it's rega commemorate, how much can you say already? So Tosis gives a suggestion. As long as you begin the curse within that split second, you can continue to say, to proclaim the curse, to pronounce the curse even if. So it seems like an irrelevant taisvus. So some of the achrainim derive from this taisvus that we have a sovzman kriyashma. We have a sovzman tefillah. So the sovzman means you have to begin saying kriyashma within this man. As long as you begin within this man, as long as you start shman esrei before the shkia, you can continue davening after the shkia. So someone once told this to Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav and the Tosis, he burst into laughter. He thought it was a big joke. Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes it, the Gilyani Hashas, and the Or HaShulchan quotes it. They think that it's a Rav and Tosis. Rav Soloveitchik thought that it was not a Rav to anything. Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about this. Pashtus in the Shulchan Aruch is that the Sozman Krishma, you have to finish the last syllable of the Krishma before the Sozman Krishma. You have to finish the whole davening of Mincha or whatever it is, Shachris, within the Sozman. Not to begin within the Sozman, to finish. That's the Poshup Shant. The Kosher Glava was a great Goen. Kosher Glava was hanging on the 5-day. In the library. So he has a tshuva sefer, Eretz Tzvi. His name is Tzvi. So he has a sefer, Eretz Tzvi, Shalosh Tshuva. So several of the tshuvas that he has are to defend the common practice to do something or another that's questionable, so he defends it. So he speaks about the common practice that Kohanim go by plane long distances. So if you go by plane a long distance, it's a vada, you're going to go over a cemetery. And the Mesa Mamatami Ba'ohel. So the tomb is Bakas Ve'el Adler Rakia. So there's room to say if the airplane is above the clouds, maybe that's called Barakia. There's such a thesis in Erev. Maybe the tomb only goes up until the clouds. That's called Barakia. Like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, there may seem Tumah Bakas Yoredes Ad HaTahom. Let's say, what's on the other side of the globe? China, Japan? I don't know what's on the other side. So there are probably people buried in China. So if the tomb is Bakas Yoredes Ad HaTahom, so we should all be Tomei over here. So Kohen can't walk over here if it's the opposite side. Thomas Avitar, so Rav Shlomo Zalman writes It's self-understood tumah goes ar ha-tohem. The time is in the middle of the globe, middle of the earth. It doesn't go to the other end. So he says tumah b'kasve'ela ad l'rakia. Also, it doesn't go ad ein sof. It goes ad l'rakia, wherever rakia. So they say rakia is where the clouds are. Above the clouds is barakia already. Yeah, but sometimes the planes are below the clouds. Over here, the airports in New York are surrounded on three sides with Jewish cemeteries. So when the planes take off, unless they take off over the Atlantic, but if they take off on the dry land, the plane is going to California. So Bevadois, it's going to go over a Jewish cemetery. All the three sides on the earth are surrounded with Jewish cemeteries. So how can a coin go in an airplane? That's the Shiloh. So the common practice is that Kohanim do go in an airplane. So the Kosher Glover has a whole tshuva to try to defend. So he has up to seven suggestions, why it's muta, all seven, hink and unta. They're all very shvach kulas. So one of his kulas is that the airplane is going so fast, in order to be metame, you have to at least be in contact with the mace, rege kememre. That's the smallest amount of time that Talochi can sit as rege kememre, and the plane is going so fast, he's not even going to be on top of the mace, arega. In Yiddish, you say, arega, a second, a moment. Halacha, you say like that. That there's a minimum amount of time you have to be in contact with the mace in order to violate the Issa. Very questionable. He refers to this Gemara, the rega commandment. He thinks that it's a halacha. The Gemara just has it in the context of the Rebbeinu Shlom being koyis every day. So we should remember the mandat tzidkas Hashem that the Rebbeinu Shalom did a chesed with the Bnei Yisrael that whole time. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not kais. All the time that Bilam was by Balak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not kais. That's why he says Moi Kovlo Kabakel Moizam Lezom Hashem. The Rebbeinu Shalom wasn't angry. Malamed Shikol Osam Hayom Lezom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't angry at all that whole time. Shai. Where it tells us. There was a tzeduki, that's the gemara that we have. Tzeduki is an apothecary. He lived in the neighborhood, B'shev Yibusa, Reb Shob and Levi, and he used to give him a hard time with Tanakh. The tzedukim used to hack at shining about Tanakh. The Christians used to hack a lot about Tanakh. They read into the psukim, all kinds of things. So Reb Shob and Levi was considering cursing him. He should curse him like Bilam. He should curse him when the Baruch Shalom gets angry. And then he realized that's not derech eretz. So Tosis is bothered with the kasha, the second Tosis. There is a din, it says on the margin, but it's zod af chavav in the base, that an apikoris, that stukim amarid them alom malim. You're not allowed to kill him, shoot him, like this, outright, the ritzicha, but marid them. You take him, you have him climb down a ladder, and then you take away the ladder. So that's gram ritzicha. You're allowed to do gram ritzicha. And if he's in the bottom of a bar and he asks me, can you please lower a ladder, let me get out of here. So you're not supposed to let him get out. What kind of business is this? This is Gram Ritzicha, that's an Aveira. So the Achrayim said that it's, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Bezim Makam Yanchen Shalom and Adin Lahoy Rosha Lamigda Milsa. You're allowed to give Misa, you're allowed to give Malkus, not only to penalize a person, Mammon, Makam Yanchen Mammon, even Makam Yanchen Misa, and Malkus, Loi Rosh or the Migdam Milsa. We don't do it this manazer. The Chazanish writes, if today you're going to take every apikoros and marine will amalin, so they're going to say that the rabbis are crazy like the Taliban, that they're killing everybody, that the Orthodox Jews are the miut. The Orthodox Jews in the schools in Eretz Yisrael, in the young schools, the Orthodox children are 51% now. But the adults, the parents are the miut in Eretz, so they're not the roiv. So they say that the rabbis are crazy, they're killing everybody. So you can't do it today. Marin v'lo malin is l'hoiru asho, the migda milsa, bez makam yonshin, if you'll accomplish something. If there'll be a migda milsa, the migda milsa means something will be accomplished. What are you going to accomplish over here? There's so many apikursim around. If you have one apikuris, is breaking the discipline in town. So that would make sense, Maridim Ulamah. So Tosfos asked over here, if this fellow is an apikoros, so why did the Gemara say that the Rebbe Shimon Levi wanted to curse him, and then he said it's not right? No, it is right. That's Taka the Din, Maridim Ulamah. So he says, yeah, you should do the Maridim Ulamah, but you shouldn't get the Rebbe Min HaShemayim that they should do. Haini B'dei Odom, you should do it. Avu B'dei Shemayim, La Baruch Ara, La Hanisham, La Hatricham, O Lahorga B'dei Shemayim, Shaloi K'derech B'dei Odom. That's not right.
It's also a positive What
do you mean, positive?
Well, Malin, you don't matter if he's in the pit.
Yeah.
But you don't throw him into the, you throw him into the pit too.
Moridim. You try to lower him down into the pit as long as you don't kill him, be a die.
Take the ladder away.
You
that's
take
what's
the,
doing it. He can't get out.
You encourage him to go down, and then you take away the ladder.
But you, that's, you know, that's, isn't that right?
That's grammar,
it's the cursing, is that right?
Ah, okay. That's direct. Cursing is Amin Hashamayim, they're going to cause him to die. I didn't, I mean, I'm davening that the Ribbono Shel Olam should punish. Anyway, we don't do it. Gemara says, La Barucha, Kama Anosh Latzadik Lotov. You shouldn't do it. Okay. Yeah, what is it? The Yom Rabbi Yechon Mishim Rabbi Yechon, you keep on quoting different memories that he says, Shlosh Advaram Bikish Moshe B'lechnei HaKadosh Baruch V'Nosan Lo'i. He gave in to all three. What were the three requests? That's where Rabbi Yossi says. First, Bikish Etiv Shashchin Al Yisrael V'Nosan Lo'i. The Rabbanu Shalom agreed that he's not, if you're angry at B'nai Yisrael, so you're not going to be Masha Shechina. So Rabbanu Shalom said, Halo, Moshe said, Halo B'lech T'chimano. The Rabbanu Shalom gave it. Then Bikish, the second Bakasha Shalotish, Roshchina, Alu Maso Oilam, Alu Abdi Kohav, and Osanlo, Beniflinu, there should be haflaya, there should be a distinction, a difference. Only have Nevi'im amongst Klal Yisrael, the Yom HaSalam don't have any Hashvas Hashchina. And then the third Bakasha, Rabbi Yossi, the Tana claims, the third Bakasha was also, Rabbanu Shalom answered, Bikish Ladio Dirachov, Shalom Kadosh Baruch, and Osanlo, he wants to understand whom to punish and whom to reward and so on. He requested Hodeyem Noz Derechecho, and the Rabbanu Shalom gave in to that too. Then the next mandama says, no, the third one he never gave in. Peliga de Reb Meir, a few lines later. Reb Yaisi, the Tana, who was quoted by Reb Yechon, this is a disagreement with Reb Meir, Damar Amer, Shtaim Noz Nolo, V'achas La Noz Nolo. The first two, Bikish Tashav Shechina B'Yisrael, he gave in. Bikish Eloi Ashav Shechina Sabu Mesoel, he gave in. But the third one, he said, no, V'chanos Yeis HaShe Rachim, V'chamti Yeis HaShe Rachim. He didn't explain, Ho, there ain't a nos, there achecho, explain to me. So he didn't explain to him. He did not explain to him. Tal Mishmei de Rabbi Shua ben Korcho, Kacham Le HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu made a request, so the Baruch Shalom says, I'm not going to give in. Kisher Atzisi, when I appeared in the burning bush in the snare, and I wanted to reveal myself to you, Lo Ratziso, you hid your face. Vayasta Moshe Panav, you hid your face. I wanted to carry on a conversation, so you ran away. Achshav Shata writes, and now you want to become close with me, you want to understand how I run the world. There's any rights, I don't want to give in to you. So the Gemara is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu acted improperly when it says Vayasna Moshe Panav, that was not right. That's what Tadam Ishmei the Rabbi Shem Bakoruch. Gemara says, and that's Pliga the Rabbi Shmuel Ban Achmeni, that's in disagreement. The Rabbi Shmuel Achmeni says, Neim Rabbi Yonasim, B'schar Shalosh, as a reward for three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did, he was rewarded three different things. So one was, B'schar that he said, Ki Orei Mehabitel Hu Elokim, Vayasna Moshe Panav. So based on that, he was rewarded Zocha L'Klast upon him. So he did the right thing. Not that he did wrong. But he asked the Moshe upon him. He did the right thing. It's not proper. It's not derech eretz to, when there's a Gilu Shechina, to just sit there like that. So he hid. Then the Gemara has the comment that we were discussing yesterday.
That's when he had the Klast upon him. He came down from the
second time. When the Lucha Shnias, he was, his face was shining.
That was for this.
Yeah. On Sunday, Rabbi Shechter was discussing the Medrash, the three different explanations in the Medrash. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu Zocha L'Karni Hot? Mechon Zocha Moshe L'Karni Hot? So this Gemara says it was Bischar because by Asna Moshe Panav, that's why he was Zocha L'Klast Panav. That's why his face was shining. Rabbi Shechter quoted three other explanations that were given in the Medrash. One of the explanations was Medioshen Ishtar B'Kulmas, from the ink that was left. So eventually he used to say, oh, in the name of the Balatanya, what do you mean from the ink that was left over in the pen? So he said, every great professor, every great genius, every Beit Talmud Chacham has so much within him, he can't convey everything to the Talmud. Even if he writes 100 books, he's still not able to give all the physics and all the chemistry and all the learning and everything that he has, all the philosophy that he has in his mind. So that's what the Gemara refers to as the Dioshen Ishtarim Bekulmas. Every great genius, every great giant, every great scholar has so much that he just within him that he can't convey to others. So that's why his face was shining, because he had all of this greatness within him that he simply couldn't convey to the Bnei Yisrael. That's what the Baal HaTanya said, that halacha requires in the Sefer Torah. You have to have mukav gvil. Every letter of the Sefer Torah has to be surrounded with empty space. You shouldn't have two letters connected, to indicate that every letter of the Torah has tons and tons of Torah Shabbat Peh surrounding it. Every letter has to be mukav gvil. There's so much more Torah Shabbat Peh surrounding every letter. So he thought, Baal HaTanya said, that's what it means, that Yoshen Ishtar becomes the leftover ink. Every great genius has leftover ink. Then the Gemara says, "Reisa Sachorai." What is that reference to? Ramav Shem Chasin Lam Shacharish Bochal Moshe Keshes Shol Tefillin. I don't remember. The Medrash had three different explanations. One was the Yoshen Ishtar Bekulmus. Then the Medrash had another two. Not the one the Gemara says. I forgot. What does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu Keshes Shel Tefillin. So we said yesterday, that's a Menachas Daf Lamed Hey. The Gemara has different things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rav Delbel explains in his Sefer, why did he have to show him Keshes Shel Tefillin? Because it's not really a Dalit, it's a Kesher. It's Suras Dalit. Depends what it looks like. It isn't really a Dalit, it looks like a Dalit. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. Tomorrow is Thursday. So we have to take a vote. Okay. 11. What time is the Shema on Thursday? Cool. 10:45. We should learn Parsha, we should learn Gemara. Try to have a vote to figure out. Okay.
Can we say that?
So who did you usually go back with on Friday?
This is thing as usual.
Yeah.
You pray one week, you put a rosary on the week.